Well, this morning we're going to go back into our teaching. We're teaching on Jacob, but I had titled this as A Life Driven by Reward when we started this teaching off. And last week we shared some things about, as we look again at Jacob and God's, when Jacob was told by, his mother and talked to his father and said about the fact that his brother, his wonderful brother, wanted to kill him, that they said that, they need to send him to her brother's home, who actually was in Syria, is where it was at. If we would look on a map today, it would be in that area. To go get a wife there, says, they didn't want him to have a wife from the area that they were in. And we found out that Esau did a wonderful thing. He got upset because he found out that his parents didn't like the wives that he had taken. And you probably wouldn't like them either. And anyhow, so what he did was he married another one just to make things worse. And we found out that Jacob went out and God revealed himself to Jacob and gave him a revelation about angels in the earth. But he also confirmed the covenant with him that he had made with Abraham and then with Isaac. So he reaffirmed that covenant. God appeared to him and told him and said what he had told him before. And had told his grandfather, so he heard the same words that were passed on down through. And really, this is what he was looking for. This is what he wanted. See, Esau wasn't interested. Esau wanted blessed, but wasn't interested in, I want things to turn out well for me, but I don't want to get involved with God. There's a lot of people like that today, They get out here and get in trouble, and they want somebody to pray for them. Ask God to help me. But in between the times, they don't want God at all. People have nothing to do with God. And God is nothing but somebody on the side that's supposed to fix my problems and then let me live my own life and do whatever I want. And so you have folks who are like that. Well, that was Esau, but Jacob wasn't like that. So Jacob obeyed. It's one of the things is he obeyed his father's. But one of the things that I emphasized last week, and I hope if you didn't hear the message and go online and download it, listen to the message because it dealt with what Jacob, God confirmed the covenant with Jacob, but Jacob then, really, he told God, and he spoke to God and told God, really, that God was going to have to prove his faithfulness. He said, Lord, if you do all this stuff you say, he said, then I'll give you a tenth of everything that I have. I will do that. He didn't say, look, I'm going to give you a tenth and believe you'll give me something. He didn't say that. See, we're told today, you just do that. And we need to understand, and I emphasize the fact, is one of the greatest things that God did for me in my life when I started off in my Christian walk. One of the first things he did, he got me hooked up in Kenneth Hagin's teachings on the areas of faith with God, and which I began to hear what the Word of God said. But there's one thing that God began to do is I heard the Word of God, and I would talk to God about the Word. It's me. A lot of people talk about praying and stuff. I talk to God like I talk to anybody else. I don't have this special voice that you take in and, oh God, would you please? And I don't talk in these and thous, and I just go to God and I talk to him plain. And I would ask God about things. I would go to God and say, your word says this, and it's fine, but God, if you don't do that, if you won't do that for me, then I'm not going to believe your word. I've watched people say that, they're standing for years. I know people stood for 20 years on stuff and nothing ever happens. And they say, well, we're still trusting God. And I want to know how you do that. How can you ever trust somebody that never does what they say? I want to know how you do that. The day I asked Jesus to save me, he did it. I didn't have to wait for 20 years and wonder and walking around saying, I wonder if anything's going to ever happen. Well, why? Because you can't stand forever on something. You have to have stuff in between where God is doing things to proving his faithfulness. Anything that runs on the long run. That's number one. I can believe Jesus will come back. I can believe it because God has continually proven his word to me over time. And Jacob said, God, if you do all this stuff for me, then you'll be my God. That's what he said. He said, then you're going to be my God. There's much of Christianity today serves a God that ain't even good to them. It's because they never prove God. God wants to prove himself to you. That's his desire. He wants you to know that he's trustworthy. He wants you to know. I look back at all the things that God did for me, and surely I wasn't really in a place of faith to believe it. I didn't know enough to really stay. But God would do things to me to prove himself through his word. I would walk as far as I understood to believe. When I look back now, I think sometimes, my God, I was sure childish about things. But God still proved himself. Why? He was proving to me that he was faithful. Your faith cannot increase in God without you increasing and understanding and knowing that he is faithful. His faithfulness is why you can have faith in him. You can't have faith in somebody just because they have nice words. Now, that's a thing in America, and it's gotten in the American church. And this is how we elect politicians. We don't elect them on performance. We elect them on talk. And that's why our nation's in a mess. And the church world's been the same way. Preachers have been just talk. They don't even know God, a bunch of them. They ain't got a clue. They make all kind of nice little sayings. They can't even live what they talk. They can't even do it. And see, I'm going to tell you, God's interested in performance, aren't you? You know, you go out here and get in your car. You don't want somebody to just hand you a book and say the car is wonderful, but it won't start. What do you want? You want performance. When you get in that thing and you hit the ignition, it fires up. And then you put it in gear and the transmission actually works. You know? You want to go out there and we understand God is no different than that. He wants you to know that he works, that he does what he says. He'll do things for you. Expect God to do wonderful things. Think about, you know, in the scripture, Paul, in Paul's writing, the church at Ephesus in the third chapter, and he goes on and prays, you know, that God would strengthen them with might by his spirit in the inner man. But he ends it and he says about him who does exceedingly abundantly above what you ask or think. You ought to expect to get more from God than you're able to believe for. I do. When I saw that scripture, I always expect God to do better for me than I can think of to do to ask. And see, we ought to get over there. See, that's part of my faith. That's my faith in operation. God will go beyond where I'm at. Hallelujah. He'll go beyond where I can stand and do. And he has constantly done that. And expect that of your God. Expect it out of him. He wants to prove to you his faithfulness. And we're going to find as we go on here, God proved his faithfulness to Jacob. Jacob asked. Jacob said what he would do. Jacob was good to his word. Jacob was good to his word. Why was he? Because God was good to his word. God is always good to his word. You know, there's things that I've learned about God. God's faithfulness too is not just for myself, but experienced sometimes with other people, what God has done for them. And you know, they're not flakes or weirdos, and you know that God has done wonderful things for them. And that helps you in your confidence as God. There's one thing as I learned, God would heal anybody, he'll heal me. You know, if God would heal, like I know that if God would heal you, he'll heal me. He has to. He's not a respecter of persons. If he says, no, Ed, it's not for you, I'd look at him and say, you know, you're a liar and your Bible's a lie. Jesus, something appeared here right now and said it was Jesus and told me something opposite of what the word said, I'd look at him and tell him, see, I don't know who you are, but you'd be a liar. You can't contradict what you said. You couldn't do it. I've had people say they have experiences, and I've known people and ministers say they have experiences, and even some religious groups in Christianity have started off because they had experiences where some kind of being, something manifested itself, told them some things, and they went off and did a bunch of crazy stuff. And they have, you know, they got off on Christian, off of Christian principles and Christian faith. It's because they believed things that were said that were outside the Word. I'm sorry, anything an angel appears and he ain't talking and doesn't agree with the Bible, I know what angel that is. And it ain't an angel of God. He's not going to contradict himself. That's why you can have confidence in him, and that's why he's trustworthy, because he changes not. Man, you know, that's this wonderful thing, because tomorrow morning when you wake up, the best thing that you can have in your life is God don't change. Is our nation changed? Look how it's thrown people off. But that wonderful thing, it ain't changed. When I wake up in the morning, I have a God. I can stand on what I stood on yesterday. Hallelujah. Because God don't change. Hallelujah. It is wonderful to be in something that ain't changing, that's only getting better. Hallelujah. Now, some things may change for us because we learn more about him, but he don't change. Hallelujah. So you can wake up in the morning and know God is going to be good to you. Now, we find that if we go over to Genesis, the 29th chapter, we find that Jacob obeyed and he got up and he headed toward Haran. And I'm going to start in the first chapter and read of the 29th chapter concerning Jacob. It said, Jacob, it says, so Jacob went on his journey and came to the land of the people of the east, and he looked and saw a well in the field, and behold, there were three flocks of sheep lying by it, for out of that well they watered the flocks. A large stone was on the well's mouth. Now all the flocks would be gathered there, and they would roll the stone from the well's mouth, water the sheep, and put the stone back on its place on the well's mouth. And Jacob said to them, my brethren, where are you from? And they said, we are from Haran. And he said to them, do you know Laban, the son of Nahor? And they said, we know him. And he said to them, is he well? And they said, he's well. And look, his daughter Rachel's coming with the sheep. And then he said, look, it is still high day. It is not time for the cattle to be gathered together. Water the sheep and go and feed them. But they said, we cannot until all the flocks are gathered together and they have rolled the stone from the well's mouth. Then we water the sheep. So, but we find out he goes and here he's heading to his mother's brother's home, and he's obeyed his parents. He's gone there. And we need to understand, because we're going to find out later on as we study Jacob. Jacob makes the statement that when he left home and he came to Laban's house, he said, the only thing I had in my possession was a staff. You know, his dad didn't send him with any money. His dad didn't go buy him a wife like he had been bought by his father. He didn't do none of that. And so Jacob went on, and this is a wonderful thing because, you know, Jacob didn't complain about that. You understand? Jacob understood about the blessing. I will guarantee you, Esau couldn't have been sent away somewhere to go do something without nothing. He would have never. Because he didn't understand. I always want to be a blesser. I just want to have a lot of stuff. But he didn't know how to get it or what to do to get it. We understand that Jacob understood the things with the blessing. He wanted the blessing and he got it. So we found in verse 9 says that now while he was still speaking with them, it says Rachel came with her father's sheep, for she was a shepherdess. And it came to pass when Jacob saw Rachel, the daughter of Laban, his mother's brother, and the sheep of Laban, his mother's brother, that Jacob went near and rolled the stone from the well's mouth and watered the flocks of Laban, his mother's brother. I always thought that. I thought this was pretty interesting concerning Jacob. They have a tradition here that everybody has to be together before you can water. So here she's coming. She comes to get her sheep water, and she has to wait till everybody else shows up. You know, this is called sort of like we do in religion. It's a custom. Now, it don't make a bit of sense, but it's a custom. This is the way we do it. I like Jacob because Jacob goes over and waters the sheep. I bet you there were some upset people standing, well, he ain't following our traditions. He's not doing it like we do it. As Kenneth Hagin used to make the statement all the time, he says that the Christians always major in the minors. Anything of minor importance is a big deal to them. Anything of major importance, they don't know nothing about. And it's just like this, the watering of the sheep. And whenever I read that, I always have to laugh because I think, oh my, the stuff that goes on. But we find here in verse 11, it says, then Jacob kissed Rachel and lifted up his voice and wept. And he says, anyhow, he goes on. We're not going to read the whole thing. He tells her who he is. And then he, we find in this thing about Jacob. Jacob's going to do something that's very, very interesting, because what I want you to see today about Jacob, because Jacob is driven to reward. He wants reward. But understand, we're finding out about him. He has qualities about him that will allow him to achieve and get the reward he wants. And you need to see this about Jacob. You need to understand. See, we have a hard problem today. You know, Mike Arendo had taught, you know, in the last year had taught in the subject of patience. And, you know, we think of patience sometimes as just being in a bad situation and trying to hold on. But Patience is about a way of life of how you do things. You continually plod to do something. You know, to achieve things in life, everything just doesn't happen instantly. And that's not what Americans think. They think it's all supposed to happen. As soon as you have a problem, the Congress ought to pass a bill and hurry up and do that thing for you and blah, 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 blah. And, you know, you go down here and you go to, you know, you go to McDonald's and, well, you know, they do advertise fast food. At least it should be, or it isn't good for them or their own work. But we think everything in life and sense ought to be like that, and it's not. Patience is a thing that you operate in, and if you don't learn that, you're going to lots of times miss reward. Because you're not going to ever stick around long enough to get it. So a lot of people don't seem to ever do in life, to stick around. Now, I want to look here at Jacob. We're going to go down further. He went and he meets Laban. He was taken to Laban and met him. And in verse 15 says this. He says, "Then Laban said to Jacob, 'Because you are my relative, should you therefore serve me for nothing? Tell me what should your wages be?' It says, 'Now Laban had two daughters, and the name of the elder was Leah, and the name of the younger was Rachel. Leah's eyes were delicate, but Rachel was beautiful of form and appearance.' It says, 'Now Jacob loved Rachel, so he said, I will serve you 7 years for Rachel, your young daughter. Laban said, It is better that I give her to you than that I would to give her to another man. Stay with me.'" Now I want you, look at this man. I want you to see what kind of man that this man is. How many men today would think a woman would be worth 7 years of his labor just to get her? See, his idea of what's valuable, he saw something that he valued and he's willing to pay a price for it. He's willing to work 7 years. Now, look, understand, this is his pay. He's not down getting money from Laban, because we find out he's gaining nothing other than he's getting a wife. He's working just to get a wife. Now, he's getting fed there and stuff, but this guy, he's making a bunch of bucks to get himself rich. He is doing what he's doing to get a wife. He felt that this was valuable enough for 7 years. We're going to find out he ended up working 14 years to get her and never complained. See, what he wanted that he found as valuable, he was willing to do whatever it was required to get it. You have to learn to do that about the Bible and be whatever's required, do whatever's required to get it. God offers all kind of reward. Many people want the reward, but they don't want to do what is required to get it. And this is the whole thing. You know, understand, we work in life as the same way. This is one of the reasons people, you know, today is like, you know, people don't stay at things very long and that stuff. And I see some people, I've watched this, people that don't really do well in life from the standpoint of financially and stuff are lots of times at people that never stay anywhere any period of time. They never prove anything out anywhere. You know, there's one thing as an employer will look at. He'll look to see if somebody has been anywhere for any amount of time, because he knows this. A person that's always skipping and jumping to something, they have no proof of faithfulness for nothing. We prove ourselves out over time. That's what we prove ourselves, and we need to understand that, how that works. That's why we need, you know, somebody's always, well, I want something better. I've found this out in life. You stay with things, prove yourself out. You know, a lot of people today, as soon as things get a little difficult, or, well, I have a boss I don't like. Well, get over it. You'll probably get another one you don't like. So get over it. It isn't about finding all the things that you like. It's number one, God, understand this in the Bible, and I've talked about this before, God blesses the labor of your hands. And we're going to find out. That's how this thing works. God blessed the labor of Jacob's hand. He blessed it. When Jacob finally does return home 20 years later, Jacob's a wealthy man. And you know what? He didn't get wealthy and start into the wealth till after he got past 14 years. Up to the time that he served over 14 years, he still didn't have any possessions of his own other than two wives and some kids. But he had no wealth of his own. I want you to think about that. So probably in the last 5 years that he worked for Laban, that's when God brought him the wealth. See, a lot of people today, they want everything quick. I want it, you know, this is one of the things that we're dealing with, is why we have so much trouble on the stock market. You know, if you took years ago and looked at the stock market, it would have its times of up and down. Now it goes from up crazy to crashes, and these are coming quicker and quicker. And that's because of the investors. Investors and people who want to retire, they want a huge amount of money right now. And they want to invest, and they don't want to do it over the long term. They want to do it the short term. I want to have 10, 15% every year. And so they put pressure. They buy stock in companies, and they put pressure on whatever they own stock in. This is what we want to do, or we won't invest in you. Everybody wants everything quick. And that's why we have all these bad crashes and all this stuff going on. This is why we have companies do illegal things. People get mad at why they do that. Because the investors are putting pressure on them to give them more money than they can make. See, we need to watch this stuff. This impatience and things. We find a man here, he gets wealthy, gets real wealthy. But he is patient and letting God, in other words, it's not God just proving himself to him. He's proving himself to God. He's a faithful man. He's continually doing what's right. The Bible says don't get weary in well-doing. When you're doing the right thing, you just keep it up. You just maintain it and doing the right thing. And we're finding this out about Jacob. So Jacob, he's the guy that said, he said, this girl, this one that I want for my wife, she's worth 7 years of work. She's worth 7 years of it. That's an astounding thing. That's an astounding thing. How many people would have that patience today? You know, most of them get married and, you know, people, we dated 3 months. That's about long enough. And now we've been divorced 10 years. So he found something though, but see, he found something he felt was a reward. And you know, I mean, what she must have thought of it. This man will work 7 years for me. Man, this guy's a keeper. He'll work 7 years for me. Just think about it. What would a woman think of something like a guy's doing something like that? See, this is one thing. These things are so outside the American culture. People read this stuff and it just becomes nice little stories we tell, but nobody has the concept of what's really taking place here. Because in America, we don't do that. Everything is, you know, my words, if you went together a year, why'd you wait so long? You know, you should have been married at least 8 months ago. You know. Everything is running. Here, this guy, he finds that she's worth it. Anyhow, says Jacob, he loved Rachel. So he said, I will serve 7 years for Rachel, your younger daughter. Laban said, it is better, you know, that I give it to her. He said, stay with me. So Jacob, he said, serve 7 years for Rachel. Now listen, and they seemed only a few days to him because of the love he had for her. Man, I can see why this guy loved her. This wasn't talk. This wasn't the guy that cheats on his wife and say, yeah, honey, I know I did that, but I do love you. This is a guy, he's not having sex with her at all. And he's going 7 years with her. 7 years to get her. That's just to get her. He's working, laboring all this time. He ain't working 7 years to keep her. It's just to get her. He served the 7 years. He said, man, it just seemed like a few days. He said, then Jacob said to Laban, give me my wife for my days are fulfilled that I may go into her. And it says, and Laban gathered together all the men of the place and he made a feast. And then we find out what had happened was, and we're going to, you know, goes through the thing here, is Laban pulled a switch on him and gave him his older daughter. See, they would set a tent up outside, and it was at nighttime, and they would go in. There's no lights. Everything's dark. And in fact, some of the Jewish traditions still do some of those kinds of things. They will do certain things like that, some of the older traditions and stuff. But so they brought him in, and actually he bought the older daughter Leah, and he ended up having sex with her. And when he finds out in the morning who he's with, he's finding out he's with Leah, he's not with Rachel. So he talks to Laban about this, and he tells him about it. He said, I served for Rachel in verse 25. He said, why then have you deceived me? Now listen to what Laban said. Laban said, it must be done so in our country to give the younger, it's not done in our country to give the younger before the firstborn. Fulfill her week, and we will give you this one also for the service which you will serve with me still another 7 years. So here he comes along. He wants something. He wants Rachel. He didn't want Leah. This is one of the things that people need to understand. I've heard again criticism by ministers about Jacob and about his conduct toward Leah. He didn't love Leah. You know, the Bible talks about us loving one another, but I just want you to understand this. I don't love none of you guys like I love my wife. So just, you know, this term that we use today about love and God loving, we think we use this term so generically, and we think God reviews people all identically because of he loves people. There's people God likes better. God likes people better who obey him than people who don't. Now I want you to see about Jacob. Here's Jacob. Jacob ends up with working 7 years to get Rachel. But he ends up with Leah. But you know what? He has changed not. He loves Rachel. And he's going to go another 7 to get Rachel. He's going to get... See, he's driven by reward. To him, she's his reward. That's the reward. See, what do you really want? So many people start off on a course or something they really want, and then they change from the course because when it starts taking time and it takes work to do it, and after a while, it's like, oh, man, this is more than I thought. And these are things you want to decide. If you want to have success at something, and this is one thing that I had to learn, and really from the standpoint of ministry. Ministry is not what most people think it is. It's not at all what most people think it is. And you need to understand this. One thing is I understood about going into ministry. A lot of the trip ain't going to be pleasant. I understand that. Why? Because you're dealing with people. Now that doesn't mean people are bad, but you're going to have controversy. You're going to have things. You're going to be dealing with that. It isn't like going home and then you just, you know, go to work and, you know, you come home, get a paycheck and that stuff. You're dealing with things. And lots of times you're dealing with people and their problems. But that's just what you're there in. But there's one thing you have to know is this is going to be a real venture. This I know, that most men and women that go into the ministry have no idea what the ministry's about, and they're unprepared for it because they think it's just some nice stuff and I'll get people to follow me and do blah, blah, blah. And that's why, you know, the average minister, the last time I checked, it may even be less than that now, but the average minister didn't stay in the ministry is under 5 years, about 4 years. The average person that goes in the ministry stays in it. 4 years is the average. Well, I've been in the ministry, you know, over 20. In fact, since 1990 I started, so in 25 years of ministry. But there's one thing that I found out when I started off. I'm in this for the long run. See, I'm not in this for the short haul. I'm not in this if it seems to turn out okay. There's reward to be had, and there's things of blessing of God to be had to be faithful for what he called you to. I determined that I thought that those things were more valuable than something else. But see, that was what I'm shooting for. Because see, I think there are certain things that God will do for me because of my faithfulness that are worth doing this. Now, if you're not called to it, don't do it. I mean, you don't go do it because maybe there's some rewards. There's reward for everybody in all of our faithfulness. Being faithful on your job, what you're working, just being faithful on it. There's reward in that, folks. There's reward. God will bless you because of your faithfulness to just do what he said and whatever it is that you're in, you know, and stay with that. And it's learning. I learn over time. You don't make moves unless God tells you to. Like some people say, well, I don't like it here. I don't like it there. You guys have heard me use the story about when I was at Bible school, you know, and I was working for $4.25 an hour. And I understand, I left a job making over 12 bucks an hour, went to Bible school and got a job for 4.25 an hour. I had the same family to take care of. Our rent was much bigger than our house payment was when we had left. And our expenses were a bit more. And Wanda was working, what you were probably making about the same, weren't you? She was working at a school, so she was working at a school in a cafeteria, so we weren't bringing in a whole bunch of money in. And I told the story how I worked in a meat department in a supermarket, and that meat department, it was a very large meat department. At that time, that was a very huge thing. If you went around the town in Tulsa, Oklahoma, which Tulsa's a big city, and you went around and all the grocery stores there, they had more grocery stores you could shake a stick at. Man, they had more grocery stores in that town. But you went to, our meat department was probably about twice of what size-wise. Now, they had a special cut meat counter. When I would come to work, they had a special, they had four guys working special cut meats. Well, I mean, they didn't hardly sell any meat. The rest of the counters and everything else was run I had to take care of in that place. And there at that time, with the cost at that time of meat was cheap. I mean, back then you could get, you know, like you could get 50 some cents a pound, you buy a hamburger. And we would, our meat department would sell between $150,000 to $200,000 worth of meat would go out of that every week. So we were moving a lot of meat. A lot of meat. Over Thanksgiving, they would give turkeys away free. I mean, you come in the store, if you spent $10, they'd give you a free turkey. You wouldn't believe how many pallets of turkey. Hundreds of pallets of turkeys pulled out. Sometimes a day, just on my shift, you know, 30 or 40, just in my shift, would be pulled out, just people getting those. I mean, this place, and I'm working by myself. This guy who's the, and some of the guys working at the meat cutting counter, they did special cuts. These guys were Rhema students, just like I was. They were at Bible school, just like me. But they would kiss up to the supervisor and go along with stuff that wasn't good to go along with. They should have been, you know, there's things they should have said, no, we aren't going to participate in. But they would play along with him, and he'd give them raises, and he wouldn't give me a raise. Guy wouldn't give me a raise. I talked to him about it, and I'm just going to tell you, I did more work than anybody in that place. I worked more than he did, probably in the past year, I would do in a week. He didn't do nothing. He wasn't even being a good manager. Well, what was happening was this is getting upsetting to me, but I learned one thing, though. You don't make a move unless God tells you to. I watch people make moves to something they think is better, and it turns out not better. I have seen this more times than any. And they go to it, and then they turn around and say, I'm going to look for something else in a short period of time. I had a person that worked for years, went to school to be a certain thing, got to be the certain thing. I don't bet it was within 6 months, said to me, you know, I don't know, I might want to go do something else. I said, what's wrong with you? You just spent all that time to get that position. You thought that was the thing. Well, their whole problem is they don't ever stay with nothing. Number one, God can't hardly talk to an individual who won't stay around long enough to be talked to. And I learned, well, you just don't move. But I just sort of got grumping about this thing, and it upset me, this guy. But then I got over and I sort of started grumping to God about this thing. Well, then the Lord spoke to me one day, and actually he spoke to me very kindly. He was very nice to me. He said to me, why don't you go to work for me? He said, I pay good. And I knew what he meant when he said it. I wasn't supposed to leave the job. I was supposed to be, it just came to me. The Bible says, whatever you do, do it as unto the Lord. And I thought, I said, Lord, you're right. I haven't been doing this job unto you. I've been doing it for that scoundrel, and that's why I'm upset. And he was a scoundrel. I said, I've been working for that scoundrel. And I said, I ain't been working for you. And so every day I'd go to work. I'd say, Lord, I want to just thank you that you're my boss. And he had told me this. He said, I pay good. That's what he told me. I pay good. Well, I was looking for reward. I wanted more pay. Nothing wrong with that. No, there's nothing wrong that you want more pay. There's nothing wrong with that. It does depend what you do to go through to get it. You can force it out of somebody and do it your way, and maybe close the door to what God wanted to bless. But this really interesting thing happened. I started going to work, and I mean, this is less than a month. All of a sudden, checks start coming in to Wanda and I. They come in the mail. People start sending us money. I'd have sure liked to have had it before, but I was not doing what would bring it in before. I wasn't doing. But the Lord got a hold of me. Told me what to do. These checks started coming, and this is not an exaggeration. I would literally, on payday, forget my check. I didn't try to, but we had money coming in, and so we had money all the time, and you didn't think about the check coming. I didn't think about the check for it. And they would call me a couple times and said, you have to come and pick your check up. Because I wouldn't go over to the office and pick it up. I'd forget about it. Go home. I never did that before. I always knew I needed the money. And I would always be over to get the check. And I didn't. And I thought, this is just downright awesome. This thing's working. And I'm thinking, this is really good. And one day, this is after a short period of time. This is only a few months have gone by. This started happening. And one day I go to work, and the Lord said to me, you go in and tell your manager that in 2 weeks you're leaving. And he said this to me. He said, he's going to offer me money to stay. Because I knew this. He'll never get anybody to do what I do. I knew it wouldn't work. Well, so I went in. He said, no matter what he offers, the Lord said, no matter what he offers you, you tell him you cannot take it. You are leaving here in 2 weeks. I said, well, okay. So I went in to see him. I went in and I said, in 2 weeks, I'm going to be leaving. He said, oh, man. You know, right away, he wanted to offer me some money. I said, and I just looked him right in the face. I said, God told me, no matter what you offer me, I can't take it. I want you to understand this. I'm leaving. And he said, you got to give me time to get some guy worked in here. I said, no, I don't. You got 2 weeks. I said, that's better than anything you ever gave me. Well, he couldn't do it. In 2 weeks, he couldn't find anybody. They put two guys on. Two guys couldn't do my job. They would work a couple days and they'd leave. And when I left there, he might have been there in maybe another 3 or 4 months and he was fired. God judged him. See, I believe in this Jacob stuff. If you bless me, you'll be blessed. If you curse me, I don't have to go after. A person's going to get cursed. The church needs to start to understand these things. The church needs to understand. See, you want to bless the guy that's walking right. Bless the guy that's doing it. And if yourself. See, I don't have to fight him over. And I learned a big lesson there on that thing that I didn't have to, you know, what I hadn't done, I kept going to that guy. I hadn't really gone to God about it. Hadn't got his opinions God wanted to do. God may have a person go, you need to go talk to your manager. You need to do it. He may do that to you. He could. But I had never asked. I was just doing what I thought was best. And he told me what to do. And I realized that guy wasn't going to make a change. God's going to deal with him. God's going to deal with him. And God did deal with him. And the guys that were playing the kiss up, it didn't work up too good for them after that. Didn't work out well. But I want you to understand, but I learned this thing here. Now, we see this, but I really see this quality of character in Jacob. Jacob is a man who's after something, and he's willing to stand and do what it requires. I mean, 14 years. He loved that girl. But it's hope, isn't it? His love couldn't have been, as other people talk about love, it would have been lust. He'd have been shacking up with somebody else. He loved her. He found her really valuable. The fact that 14 years, he ended up working 14 years to have her. 14 years. If I worked 14 years, nobody should be surprised I liked her better than the other one. Dear God. Anything that you work longer for, wouldn't you think you'd like it best? You know, I got a car that's worth $100,000 and I got a $3,000 car over here with flat tires, but I love my $3,000 car with flat tires. And people would say, take them out to Phil Haven and give them a couple drugs and put them down for a while. Something's wrong with them. You know, he had something that he found valuable and that's what he's able, and that's what he loved the most. That don't surprise me. I always get, can't believe these stupid preachers. Well, you know, and he just didn't do right by Leah and ba, ba, ba. The Bible says that God saw that Leah wasn't loved and he opened her womb and she had kids. Well, it didn't say God never chewed Jacob out one time for liking Rachel more. Because if he had, he'd have sinned because he liked Jacob better than Esau. We have such fleshly teaching we've had over the years, and even growing up in church, when I look back over in the way they taught us stories, my words, the guy that was a hero, they made him out to be, you know, whatever. And the guy who was the loser, they always put like he was doing good. He was the good guy. And that's why we ended up today. That's why we have socialism in the church. The church world thinks socialism is God. God's always for the underdog. No, he's not. He's for the guy who obeys. He's for the guy who walks right. If you're walking right and they made you the underdog, God may very well do something about it. But being an underdog don't make you God's favorite. Hallelujah. God's looking for someone obedient. And I admire this about the quality of Jacob. Because see, I want to be like that. I want to be, if something is worth going after, is to stay till you achieve, or to stay till you get there. Whatever you have to do to get there. And that's wise. What value? See, many people put a value on, you know, they're just moved at a time for some, their flesh likes a certain thing. It's like today, a lot that we have in our society, is no more than, cultures, like with our clothing, you know, one season and that's it, you know, next year there's a new style. And so people, they're in love, spend a fortune on a certain style, and next year they could care less about that style after they spent fortunes for it, because something new comes along and goes after it. There's nothing matter with wanting something, you know, maybe a different style, but we have carried it too far in our culture, and we built a people who don't, they found really nothing's really a value. Nothing really means a whole lot, because we're going to just change and go after something else later. Whatever else fits my fancy that I would like to have, then I'm just going to go after that. You know, I mean, you know, today if we walk around with our pants halfway down, and tomorrow if we pull them up around our neck, they'll be doing it. It doesn't matter. It's whatever becomes style, then people want to do it. And they'll just chase after things. There's no persistence on what they go after. And you need to understand that when it comes down to value in things, what things are really valuable to you in life? What is of real value? I think Jacob picked some right things, and we can see it by what it wasn't just about money. It wasn't just about those things. You know, he found that people, like having what he felt was the right wife, was an important thing. And that's one of the things that they used to teach us in Rhema. They said, who you marry is going to determine where you're going to go in the ministry with God, who you marry. Now, like with mine, Wanda and I were married before I was saved, but thank God, Wanda never gave resistance about going to the ministry. I've seen lots of people come along and they marry a mate. They marry a guy, marries some cute thing, and that cute thing don't want to follow God after a while. A cute thing ain't interested in God after a while. And after a while, you can't stay in the ministry like that. What happens? It just causes so much trouble and so fiction. So here's a person called by God but can't fulfill the will of God. Well, now today, here's what they do. You go around, I watch ministers do this. They marry the wrong person, and then they turn around and divorce them because, well, I missed it with God, so I'm just going to divorce them, and I'm going to go and get remarried again to somebody else who will go with the ministry. God don't go along with that kind of stuff. We don't do that kind of stuff. We don't just do it. People go along today as well. There are things, you know, all right. We got it. This is why anything that deals with your life where it's dealing with people and things like that, you better learn to what's valuable in the long run. What is valuable? What is valuable? See, a lot of people like to be married for a lot of reasons, and a lot of people for security and things, but it isn't about, you know, what's my life dream? What am I after? And what's the person after I'm married to? You know, I see guys, you know, they get married to a woman and they think she ought to be a man. And they have, you know, their desires about things that they think you ought to have. Like my dad. My dad thought my mom ought to be interested in the stuff that he was interested in. Well, she didn't care if he got a new lawnmower. She could have cared less. You know, but anything nice for the house, he thought that was frivolous. It's because, you know, he got married because that was just what you did. And there was no thought to it or no thought to anything. And I see people do that. There's one thing, is I like Wanda, you know, she has things that she likes. And if I don't care for it at all, but, you know, there's one thing about it. If you're going to keep her happy, she has to be able to fulfill things that she likes just as much as I want to fulfill things that I like. But see, people don't do that. This is why when I look at Jacob was looking at the value of her. He wasn't looking at this. This is a woman, you know, I need somebody to take care of me, somebody to do my cleaning, my sewing. I need another mama. He wasn't looking at that. He worked 14 years. If he'd have wanted that, he went and got Leah. He had somebody cooking. He had somebody he could go to bed with if he wanted to. He had all that. And he was still after the prize that he wanted in the beginning. It was Rachel. And I believe this is one of the reasons why God found a man that will go the distance. God found a man who will go the distance for what he feels is valuable. He'll go the distance. We got to learn to be like that. I was fortunate enough, really, from a family standpoint. My mom and dad were that way and taught us. You know, they wouldn't allow us to do it. I remember our youngest daughter, train him up. Our youngest daughter, I remember she got a, she wanted to play the clarinet. And that's always wonderful when your child wants to play an instrument because, and I don't care whose kid it is, they're terrible at first and you got to listen to it. Well, nobody's good at it when they start off. And boy, she'd be just squeaking like crazy. I mean, it was just, oh, that clarinet, that pitch on that thing. But you'd have to smile and say, hey, she wants to learn to play. But you know, when she got it, she thought it was going to be an easier thing to do. So she at first going along, and then she came to me, I'm going to quit playing clarinet. I said, no, you're not. As we were taught our kids. I said, you wanted that thing? I said, we told you we got to spend money to buy the clarinet. We got to do all these things, and you got lessons and all this stuff. I said, you ain't dropping and walking away from it. You're going to play this thing a while. Because it taught her a valuable lesson. As I watch these people, they let their kid change from thing to thing to thing to thing to thing. And then they wander down the road. They're, man, this kid just don't want to do nothing but that. You trained him to be like that. I said, no. You're going to play the clarinet till you learn how to play it. I said, the next time you say you want to do something, you're going to have to decide, do I really want to do that? I said, that cost us money. It cost us our time. It cost us, and you just want to throw it away and go walk. Say, no, you don't do that. We don't do that. You know, well, she's learned how to be persistent at stuff. She has learned over the, she can do it. But she was trained in that matter. I find it very interesting. Rachel, not Rachel, but Rebecca, who was Jacob's mother, I think she probably had more influence and training on him because she had to be quite patient to be with Isaac, I would imagine. Because Isaac was very close to Esau, and Esau was patient for nothing. He was a guy trained to be able to just go do what you want. And Rebecca must have done most of the training with Jacob because we see, I don't see Isaac in Jacob. And but she must have been more persistent because he grew up with the thing of being persistent. He saw the value of just keep going after something and keep going after something. Think about it. He was there with his brother and that stuff. He wanted that blessing. He had been living in that life, walking along after that blessing the whole time, going after it and going after it. He wants it. And he turned around and got the blessing. And I just want to, I want that to share that with you, you know, this morning. It's looking at it. I find in this persistence, he didn't complain. He was told around. He said, hey, hold it. You deceived me. You gave me the wrong wife. He said, well, no, this is the way we do it here in this country. He said, okay, all right. You work another 7 years, you can have the other one. He goes, okay, and goes to work. And as we go on, as far as I'm going to go today, because there's other things, when we go into the blessing where he's blessed, we want to see what God began to do, because what happened is we're going to find Laban began to cheat, but Laban was cheating him. And we're going to find as you go on and read, Laban, he had changed his wages 10 times. Laban did. Laban said he would do something and he backed out every time he did it, and he didn't realize he was setting himself up to be cursed. And he was. He took the guy that was honest, that was under the covenant, that God said, I'll bless those who bless you and I'll curse those who curse you. That's what he said. And you know what? Laban became a curse and he lost his wealth. And we can prove it from the scripture. I've heard people say that Jacob cheated him out of his stuff. I can prove it by scriptures that God did it. And any preacher that preaches anything different is preaching heresy. They'd only read the Bible. Because you know why? Because today we have this society, socialism. Oh, everybody gets the same. If you're a cheat crook, you don't go to work, you get the same thing as a guy who's honest and goes to work. You get the same. We're taking care of everybody because we're good people. We're going to find God didn't work that way. God doesn't work like that. God was watching the whole time. God was watching what was going on. But we want to know the outcome. The outcome is the fulfillment of God's blessing on Jacob's life. God proves himself faithful to Jacob. He proves it. He does exactly what he said he would do to him, and he carried it out. And so we find that Jacob, you know, Jacob and his offspring, you know, we go down the line, and I don't know how far we're going to go in the teaching, if we'll go down to Jacob, down to Joseph. But there again, I've heard preachers talk about God, that Jacob liked Joseph better, and see, he didn't treat the other brothers right. Well, I read the book, and his brothers were scoundrels. And it don't surprise me that he liked Joseph better, because Joseph was obedient. He was like his daddy was concerning things of God. And he couldn't have sent, and God could have never sent any of those other heathen brothers down to Egypt to deliver God's people. If I was Jacob, I would have definitely liked Joseph better than the rest of them. If they were my kids, I'm going to tell you, if you got kids that are lousy and rotten and you got a good kid and you like the other ones as good as you do the good kid, something's wrong with your mind. There's a difference. I would do for somebody who obeys far before. I don't care if it's my children. I ain't going to reward the child who don't do right like I'd reward the child who did. I'm not a fool. God doesn't do that. And so I would get in the program. See, everybody, oh, today we've got to be fair. Fair means don't do what God says. That's what fair means. Fair means do what the world does and mess everything up. You do what's right. See, you train. My wife and I, we learn to train our children through reward. Reward is a wonderful thing to train people with. Reward. Because that's life. Is a guy going to get the paycheck that never goes to work? Well, he don't get rewarded with the paycheck, does he? No. The government sends him one, but he don't get it from the business because he don't work. And see, we need to understand the reward system. That's what God established, the reward system. So it's not bad. You know, I was born and raised in a church. They almost preached against reward. I don't want any of this worldly goods. Yet they all lived in houses. They all had electricity and plumbing. They all drove cars, but they don't want any worldly goods. They're all putting money in the bank, but they don't want no worldly goods. They're all doing all this stuff. They're going out buying clothes. I don't want any worldly goods. Biggest lie I ever lived around my life. I used to think, man, these people are so false. They're so false. They're so false. Excuse me. When I'm in this earth, I'm living here right now, I want some worldly goods. I want some good worldly goods. I don't want junk. Do you? No, I want the good stuff. You should want the good stuff. There's nothing wrong with that. You want good things. And there's worldly goods you want that you need. It sure helps to survive here, you know. It sure helps to have a car to drive around in. It helps going to work that you have a reliable car that you go out and starts and you get to work on time and things. Those things are needful, not just any car. There's a lot of things that you need. Now, anybody could go in to be extravagant or something like that. But you know, it's one thing about it. If a person's following God and is given like God tells them to do and that kind of stuff and following the plan of God, if they have a lot left over and they want to do a lot and have a lot of other goods, that's up to them. You know, I've learned this. I don't measure what a guy, what he has by whether he's godly or not. Because I've seen plenty of people that are poor that are some of the most ungodly people I've ever met. So see, it doesn't determine, it don't determine by your wealth. It determines by what you do. And we see here, we have a guy that God made rich. He made him rich, just like he did his granddaddy and his daddy. The blessing of God, he carried it out, and he wants to do that to you. But I want you to see this. Abraham, I see so much of Jacob, that really that Abraham in Jacob. Abraham was faithful. He went out there. Abraham, just think of all those years. 25 years he stood to get the child that God promised. 25 years. 25 years. Here's his grandson. Waiting 20, he's out here 14 years for a wife. It's 14 years. See, there's a lot in the quality of the same. When God's promising things and what they find reward, they're willing to stand and they're going to stay till God says something else. They're going to do it to get the blessing. Hallelujah. And they got the blessing. I'll tell you what, I'm driven by blessing. I've heard Christians say, well, God don't have to give me much. Well, what, do you want to end up in hell? He gave you salvation. That was the biggest deal he could ever give you. Dear Lord, not sending you to hell. And a person acts like the rest of this stuff. You know, a nice car is out of God's league and he sent his son to deliver you. See, you could go to heaven and it's too much to ask for a nice car. It's like, how insane. Most of the church world thinks salvation is cheap. They lie and say, oh, it was the greatest thing God did. But when it comes down to value, you find out what they really value. They don't think salvation. That's why they say, well, you know, God don't heal people today. We couldn't have healing and salvation. You know, we don't have that in there. Cost too much. Cost too much for that. But now salvation, yeah, you know. It's what they think about. Some guy drives a limousine and he's driving around in. Well, sure, he's going to hell. He's out there in his limousine driving around out there. Why? Because that's just cost too much. And here God gave them salvation. Couldn't even put a price tag on it. It is so valuable. It's so valuable that when you get to heaven, you're going to walk on streets of gold. Your salvation is so valuable. You're so precious in the eyes of God, he won't even let you walk on blacktop in heaven. Think about it. And we talk about down here, well, that's just too much money. I can just see these people get to heaven and say, whoa, well, we can't walk over there. That's too much. I don't want that nice house, God. Don't give me that nice place. And don't give me that nice one. Do you have anything on it? It's a little more dilapidated, you know, something I can... No, thank God their flesh is removed when they get there and they're not so stupid. But I just want to think, there's nothing wrong. Now, if you just reward from the standpoint of Esau looked at it, just getting what he wants, that would be wrong. But there's nothing about it. God wants you to want reward. God wants you to want reward. There's nothing wrong with that. God wants you to have nice stuff. You know, Kenneth Hagin told his wife when they started off the ministry, and they were quite poor. They were really poor. And when God taught him, began to teach him how to believe God for money, they would go to these ministers' conference, and he said, you know, these ministers there were established in a long time. He said some of them come out of their bigger churches, and they would be really dressed well, and their wives would be dressed really nice. And he said, you know, we were just getting by. But he said he told his wife this. He said, if you stick with me, he said, you'll have a mink coat for every day of the week. Now, see, some people say that's fleshly. No, it's about his wife. He wanted to treat his wife good. Sounds like Jacob to me. Somebody he found valuable. And he told us, he said this in school, and he says, and actually, you know, mink coats ain't a big deal today. Most people wouldn't spend the money. They'll spend $2,000 for a pair of jeans. they'll do something dumb. To have a pair of jeans that they wear for one season and never put them on again. And he said, actually, my wife has more fur coats than he said. She has enough, probably getting close to 2 weeks. She could never have to wear the same one each day. He said, she has those. He said, but I told her. Now, he wasn't a greedy man at all. He was not a greedy man at all. In fact, a huge giver. He wasn't at all. But he told his wife, you stick with me, you're going to have a good. When I heard him say that, I told Wanda, you know, you stick it up, we're going to have a good. Just hang in there. We keep going. We just keep after it and keep going and keep doing it. Keep doing the right things. That's what I want to encourage you. Don't get into our world system today. Everybody wants change so fast. And that's why we've got all this mess going on. Everybody's screaming for change. And so we're getting all the changes, aren't we? Really working great. It's why? Because it never works out the good, even for Christians. Christians that are looking for quick fixes are as bad off as the world looking for a quick fix. There's no quick fixes. We over time, this is a life lived, this Christian walk. But I'll tell you what, it pays to live it. And just keep doing it. Don't get weary in well-doing. Keep doing what's right. I don't care. Sometimes it don't seem like it's working. It don't seem like things are turning out right. You think, my words, I've been doing what's right, and where are we at in this thing? It doesn't seem, but it's being persistent. You know how many times I wanted to leave the ministry? I had God send people to me when I was really thinking about it. You get overwhelmed. You get sort of like, oh, man, God, let me fix a car or something. I don't know. Just... let me do something. And really wanting to move in that direction. And God actually had people sent to me, tell me, you know, they knew nothing about what was going on. They knew nothing about what I was thinking or might be thinking about doing. Telling me, no, don't make a move. You just stay put. You just stay put. And thank God he did. You just keep doing what's right no matter what. Let's stand to our feet. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. See, if anything, I want to be like Jacob. I want to be like Jacob. I want to have that persistence to stand. Hallelujah. I want to be a person who, you know, really evaluates what's valuable and what's not. You know, what's temporal? Certain things are temporary. You might, something is, you know, might temporarily do something in life, that's fine. But you know, there has to be goals in our life. There's things that we have to find that are really the value of things that we want to attain. What do I want to attain concerning the blessings of God? What do I want in my life? Do I just want God to be able to give me money? Do I want to grow up spiritually? Do I want to change? What do I want to walk in? How far do I want to go? We have to decide all those things. Those things must be, you just don't get there, or you just don't arrive there. They're goal set to go to those things, and it takes persistence and it takes time. I found out when I would talk to God, because I would want to, I knew I was in a place that I needed to just develop spiritually, had to go further. I needed to take a step beyond. And I found out that sometimes there was most difficult things that I went through, because when I decided I wanted to take it, it's good. I was really excited about, I'm going to move on. I'm going to take some steps, you know, and God would encourage you. But I found out to do it, He started dealing we with things that sometimes were not very comfortable. And so you have to go through some things and stuff to deal so you can attain, so you can get to that point. So there's things that you can arrive at, you know. It's just like, you know, if you want to drive to California, you shouldn't be a person who don't like long road trips. And if you really want to do it, you need to put yourself under. Nobody is going to ever learn to drive 1,000 miles if they won't drive over 10 miles any other time. One day you're going to have to suffer a little bit and push down the road. And that's what God does with us. He'll push us down the road. He takes me past the things that I didn't really want to go that far. Lord, I said I wanted to go to here, not to there. But I found out to go to there, I had to go through that. I had to do that. You know, you can drive through beautiful places in the United States. I mean, go out to the corn states. And you know what? Not a lot of beauty there. You just drive and it's flat and there's corn. And there's corn as far as the eye can see. And there's not a lot of beauty. But if you want to get to the Rocky Mountains to see the beautiful mountains out there, you got to drive through that. There's a lot of people say, I just don't like to drive through all those corn states. Well, you ain't going to go to the Rocky Mountains then. Forget it. You're going to have to do that. What's the goal? What do you want to do? And so find out, what is it? What is it that you want to do? Amen? Father, I just want to thank you. Father, your desire is to take us further. And Lord God, not further for your benefit. It's always for our benefit.